You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow, I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
You're listening to Marketing News Canada, Canada's number one show featuring the brightest minds in marketing, PR, and digital advertising.
Welcome to another episode of Marketing News Canada. I am thrilled to introduce you to Matthew Rivard, Director of Strategy and Product for Google Canada. He leads the team responsible for developing and supporting their go-to-market product and activation strategy for Google and YouTube suite of advertising and measurement solutions. Rivard has been with Google since 2010 and multiple roles. And you're with us today.
Yeah, and Matthew, it's wonderful to be here. Thanks so much for having me. I'm excited to talk to you today.
Amazing. So I'm going to jump right in. AI. Everyone's talking about AI. We haven't really talked about it on the show yet. You are actually the first. So this is very exciting.
Yeah, what an honor.
No, it's great. Huge buzzword, right? We're hearing it so often. What impact can AI have, or if it's already had, on our ad industry? What should we be aware of? Because I think everyone's got speculation and ideas, but like, give us the skinny right now for those that are maybe even like haven't even delved into it or been avoiding it or head in the sand or been like tickling their feet in that AI world.
Yeah, it's certainly having a moment. We at Google believe it's the most profound technology we're working on today. And I'll talk about that in a few different lenses. You know, in terms of societal impact, it's helping emergency response teams predict where wildfires might be going. It's reducing traffic delays. You know, I'm a Waze user. I am a Google Maps user. Many of us are, especially with sort of dealing with the traffic of Toronto. But
which one do you use more? What are you mostly on, though? I got to ask that. Do you jump between?
Well, I don't want to get too deep into like how they share data across the products either. But
what do you personally use?
I use both. Depending on the scenario, if I need data around the place I'm going to, I want to know how busy it is. I want to know if people like it. I want to see pictures of food, etc. Google Maps guy. If I'm stuck in a really gnarly traffic jam and I need like a little bit of community support,
then
I like the fluffy characters of Waze and the optimized routing that is a little bit more selective about which streets. So both.
Okay. Okay, I feel better now. Okay, I feel like I jump between and I feel bad because I'm using two, but I'm a Google Guide level 7, not to intimidate you. I'm really into Google Maps. Like I'm a contributor, but I love Waze because it's like for a while I got four kids and I was the Sky from Paw Patrol for a while.
Yeah.
But the data we get is incredible. Like as far as like what's happening on the roads and information. But it doesn't have the data on the locations. So I'm a both.
Yeah, so there are impacts, big and small. I think, you know, we also see a really huge impact in the healthcare industry already, and a lot of really exciting research and also learnings coming back from that. But I think the spot where it gets less attention is actually marketing and advertising.
Yes.
You know, probably surprising to know that 80% of Google's customers are already using AI-powered search ads products. More than a quarter of all YouTube video advertisers, they're already using automatically generated video assets. And I think this is one of the things where, from my vantage point, it's already been here. But it is certainly helpful that we are talking more about AI and the impacts AI is having on business and on people.
So not only this, as marketers who have been using, call it Google Trends, mm-hmm. or Answer the Public, which is really just data from Google Trends, is that considered AI? Have we already been AI users if we are Google Trend users for our kind of ads and blog writing and content?
Yes. So Google has been using machine learning for, you know, 2 decades.
Yeah.
I think in many of our products, there's lots of discussion about what is AI and what isn't it. Usually I try and separate it into sort of 2 different classes. There's predictive AI, which is mm-hmm. sort of like the example we were talking about with Waze. Mm-hmm. Predict for me, the easiest way to get from here to, I hear you're a Wendy's guy, but from here to a Wendy's or here to a McDonald's, what's going to be the most efficient route there? And then it's really the generative AI, which I think is having a more of a moment.
Yeah, it's sexier.
And that's the other class where, you know, we're seeing all kinds of creative use cases, whether that's developing assets, like I mentioned, on YouTube or other platforms, coming up with copy, really helping amplify the work that we are already doing. So, you know, trends would probably fit into the analytical and predictive side of things. It's all around us, I think, right already. And so it's just, where are we developing comfort with it? Where is it already helping us? And how are we making the most of it? I think that I find the most interesting challenge is just, you know, where are we going from a business point of view? And how can we make sure that we get the most out of this technology, both seen and unseen?
Yeah. Like, I still think, like, again, I will get often asked to come and talk about AI, and maybe that's why I've avoided it. So you're actually our first because of this, because I feel like we've still yet to leverage what we've already had. Like, there's still marketers and agencies still discovering Google Trends, let alone People Also Ask, mm-hmm. which is kind of like the layman's version of Google Trends. When you Google search something and it says, hey, here's what people also ask when they search that. Mm-hmm. I feel like that is such brilliant technology when it comes to like blog writing or editorial pieces or pieces that need to be produced for content.
Yeah.
It's what people are asking.
Autocomplete is another great example in search, right? Where it sort of feels like we're able to predict like what the next letter is going to be, but also surprisingly accurate about what you might actually be completing your query. That's another great example of analytical and predictive AI. We declared ourselves AI first in 2017, which is quite a ways back. And we truly believe that this is the way we can sort of most best deliver on our mission. And so I'm really excited about the road ahead, but obviously a lot of progress we've made already.
Yeah. And I'm going to give a shout out to Vancouver. We have a tool here called Unbounce, which some people use, which is a kind of a landing page tool that's been using. Okay. So again, it changed the content and the copywriting, and they never used the term AI. It was just more like, we're going to try a different marketing language.
Do they use it now?
It's a powerful, it's been around for ages, but it's almost like now is almost this resurgence of like, well, now we know what's available. Like, if Google's been doing this for ages. Mm-hmm. So what are the pieces that Google's been doing that maybe for since 2017 or today that we really should be aware of and kind of keep our finger on?
I'll start from a few different lenses. So I mentioned AI first since 2017. I think there's a lot of discussion around how do we treat this technology? How do we work alongside it? We came out with a set of AI principles in 2018 around what we will do, but also what we will not do around AI. And we open sourced this essentially in 2018 to say, you know, here's what we're doing. If you'd like to think about applying these in your own organization or your own sort of workflows, consider these perhaps a starting point. And we talk a lot about being bold, but also being responsible. And I think that's an important level set before you get it, before you get too far down the tech, because the tech has a lot of sizzle behind it. But I believe truly it's really, really important to start from the principles. And so the ones that we've aligned to is that whatever we're doing has to be socially beneficial. We have to avoid creating or reinforcing unfair bias. We have to be built for test and safety. We have to be accountable to people I think is a really important and interesting one that we could probably talk a really long time about. We have to incorporate privacy into that, and we have to uphold standards of high excellence. And lastly, you know, be made available for users that accord with these principles, which is a really important one as well. And I always think that's a really important starting point. When I'm meeting with businesses, that there's a tendency to immediately want to jump into, okay, what do I use? How do I like quickly start using generative AI or predictive AI in my business? And it's like, well, wait, let's slow down a bit. How do you feel about it? How do you want your organization to feel about it? And, you know, how are you thinking about starting from a really productive long-term foundation? And so, you know, I'm grateful that in 2018, we established these principles, because that then further reinforces what we choose to launch, what we don't, and how we bring products to market. And there's lots of really exciting ones in the marketing space that I'm happy to get into.
Amazing. Matt, tell me about these products. Tell me about, I know Bard has been getting a lot of news, but I'm sure there's a lot more that we should be aware of as marketers and agencies.
Yeah, an exciting one for me is actually a product that we have called Performance Max, which is our essentially best of Google. Yep. Give me your assets, give me your search ad copy, give me a few images, give me some videos, and we will mix and match those assets together, but also across Google's properties and network to bring you the best outcomes possible. And what we're seeing with advertisers who use this product, simply by using it, they're seeing 18% more conversions, sales, things that they care about than not. And that's a really, really big deal. And that is entirely, I think, powered by AI. And I think it's a really important one from a marketing perspective, just because it's really hard to predict what your customers or prospective customers are going to do or what they care about. And to me, this is a really, really exciting way to spend more time sort of doing what you do best, which is marketing and coming up with your stories, working on product, how those are brought to life, and less time trying to predict the future and where sales might come from. And we're seeing really incredible adoption, but also results with this product.
Yeah. And again, I this is not a sponsored episode. This show is no way affiliated with Google. But my day job, my agency that I run, yeah, we are huge fans of Performance Max. We continue to see the power that it brings, and it's been amazing. So, yeah, I can attest.
Yeah, I'm glad
to that.
I'm glad it's working.
Yeah.
Is there anywhere it's not?
Is there anywhere it hasn't worked?
Yeah.
Not yet. We're trying to break it, right? That's the idea of like, so we,
okay, well,
and we're
call,
being
call
like,
me when you do.
No, totally. We're trying to be respectful too. Like, we're like, it's funny because we tell our clients, like, you know, they're like a law firm, for example, like, hey, we're going to try this Performance Max out. This is, you know, a little bit ago. I'm like, we're going to see how it works. And we just wanted to be open with them. And then we're able to go back and be like, hey, the results are awesome. This is why. And mm-hmm. So what I liked about it though, is that it was Performance Max. It wasn't like AI robots touching all your stuff. Like it didn't freak them out as clients. And so, especially if you want to be straight with your clients about what you're doing, yeah, it was almost a digestible way to get them into AI without freaking them out.
Yeah. And that's good to hear. I think it's AI. A lot of it is about learning and piloting, yeah, and scaling and iterating. And you need to pick a place to start.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that's one good one. Or right, like, yeah, where you can get comfort with it and then, you know, figure out how to build workflows around it.
Yeah. And Performance Max, just for those that are listening, minimals, maximums, what's a kind of like to get into it? Is it available to everyone?
It's available to everyone. And you don't need a lot to get started. I think you need to tell us basically my marketing objective is, you know, XYZ. I want to get a lead. I want to get a sell. I want to sell a particular product. Again, provide us with assets or your best copy. We will mix and match that depending on the format and use that to find you more customers. And if you think about a world before this, it would be hard to sort of do that, right? Like we have two small children at home, two girls, Saturday.
How old are they?
What's their ages? Two and four.
Two and four. Okay, nice, nice.
Two and four. Really small IKEA desk, yeah, both of, yeah, them coloring at it. That has worked. But, you know, elbows are getting sharper. People, yes, are needing more space. You know, my wife and I were saying, you know, we should finally cave and buy like a small, I don't know what they're called, but like circular breakfast table.
Yes, yes.
And so started that conversation about noon. By 4 p.m. that afternoon had converted. And if I think about the journey there, I did some searches on Google, looking for 36-inch breakfast table, hopefully with a surface on top that's not going to be damaged by forks, knives, markers, etc. And so we ended up going with concrete, which felt like a safer bet. But then I went to Gmail because, I've bought furniture online before. Yeah. I wanted to see, am I signed up for any loyalty things or has anyone made me any offers? I want to see past receipts or purchases I've made. So I'm going into my Gmail. I'm then going to YouTube to try and get a feel for people who have bought these products, what they've looked like.
Or DIY'd it, right? That's fine.
Yeah, or that. But also, some of the websites now have really good AR tools.
Yeah.
So, I'm all of a sudden you can't see me because the video I don't think is being shared, but I'm leaning back in the kitchen, looking at it from different angles, and ended up converting from a retailer that I've bought at before. But prior to PMax, if you wanted to reach me in that moment, you might have had a search campaign already live when someone typed in best 36-inch breakfast table. Gmail, you would have needed a different campaign type to reach me in sort of my inbox or promotions tab. When I was there, when I went to YouTube, that would have been a separate campaign you were running. And when you're coming up with your marketing plan or marketing program, you might be thinking we've got, dining table inventory we need to clear, and this is who we're targeting, and these are the campaigns we're running. But, my journey was pretty fast and furious, 4-hour stretch on a Saturday, rapidly interacting across these and using AI. And using all the assets, you would have been able to have one campaign with Google that would have used AI to probably detect that, hey, this person's pretty much in the moment of purchase. And this is a great way to simplify marketing for marketers, because that was a moment where I was pretty open to considering multiple brands, and really hard to do something like that manually. But a product like this can really stitch that journey together.
It's amazing. So you call it PMax?
PMax for short. That's the cool kids call it PMax.
I'm going to try that. Okay. I'm going to use it with my team today. I'm going to see if I'll be cool today.
Yeah.
PMax. How's the PMax campaigns going?
Yeah. See, that's
It's awesome. What else? What are some other tools, options, AI kind of coolness?
Well, I think also about empowering creatives. And this gets more at sort of the generative AI use cases.
Which I like how you've put them in boxes, by the way, I want to encourage you, that's really helpful, I think, when we're talking about AI, because it's not all one bucket. They're very different.
Yeah, it's very different. And so I think I like to try and split those out. I think it's also just helpful when you're talking about it. Just pause and talk about where you're talking generative here or we're talking predictive over here. I think the creative is a spot where we talk a lot about generative AI. And we believe that, instead of replacing human creativity, it will enhance, enable, liberate it. And there's lots of different ways creatives can use that today. Lots of sort of text to image video tools. We've got one called Imogen in beta, helping create concepts, storyboards. I'm a pretty heavy power user of a function called Help Me Write in Gmail, which either gives you sort of those quick, fast responses or
I love it.
Starting points.
Yes.
And we've recently, in our sort of Google Workspace, which is the paid versions of Gmail, Docs, Calendar, et cetera, Duet AI is sort of your companion there, which can do a ton of work with longer documents, spreadsheets, all sort of confined to your organization and not sharing sort of any data back, to summarize email chains, help with spreadsheet analysis, give you a starting point for building presentations. And so a lot of those generative use cases I'm finding have really powerful impacts on just workflows.
And Matt, just a quick pause there in the I want to point something out. Google's been doing the 3-line, 4-line, I don't know, sentence email responses for a while now. This isn't brand new. It isn't a new thing when ChatGPT came out. How long has that feature been around? Because I love it on my Gmail app.
Quite a few years.
I think
what's changing is the velocity at which the underlying technology is changing.
Okay.
So these features continue to get better and better and better.
Yeah.
And I think we're seeing a pretty rapid acceleration of the sophistication of the underlying models, both from Google and others. I think you see that in the world today, things moving really, really quickly. I find it hard to keep up with the latest releases, launches, and creative ways that people are finding for AI to make really creative stuff, but also I think really productive sort of work-changing technology.
Yeah. Like I walked by my desk the other week and our designer had shown me, like, they designed this, you know, candle with this background, and then there was 14 other versions of it with different backgrounds, different styles that AI had made. And it was done in minutes, right? And so we could see it in different formats and different ways. And then we could run different ads to different kind of like segments and different types of people and different seasons based on this one image.
It's truly, I think, an amplifier of creativity, but also productivity.
Okay. So we talked about Performance Max. We talked about kind of the Gmail service tool, some of the other, what other things that you maybe want to highlight, especially for advertisers, marketers?
It's actually, what I would highlight is, and I don't know if you want me to keep talking about AI,
please.
You need to create the conditions to actually leverage this technology effectively.
Okay.
And that sort of gets back at when I'm in many discussions with some of our largest, you know, partners or advertisers, there's a tendency to immediately jump to, okay, show me the use cases and show me how I can start using this today. And I'm usually sort of walking those conversations back towards, well, do you have a sort of formalized experimentation framework that you use internally today? And, do people have a way that they can test this, learn something, and scale that to the organization? I think you really need to make sure that you're set up for success here, which requires you to be really agile and stay really on top of, you know, how you're testing, learning, and then scaling those things up. And so AI can be incredibly helpful, I think, in sort of helping you provide a unified picture of customers. To your point around the example of the candles, you know, what might this look like and how might we leverage that? But after you do that, do you have a way to reinform how you're planning that again? And so I think that part of it is actually really, really critical in terms of how you work. In terms of what you use, I think we talked a lot about things like Performance Max, or what we're now calling PMax. In this call, we've talked about how it can help from a creative lens. There's also a lot happening in just our core search products as well, where Broadmatch, you know, has been around forever at Google as a search technology. And for those less familiar with sort of how campaigns work at Google, you tell us, you know, I sell dining room tables. You add the word dining room tables to your search campaign. It was the case that if you put that in quotes, you're only going to match on sort of that exact search. If you take the quotes off, you're going to match on that search, but also some other searches. And we've had I think it's a 5,000x improvement in the LLM, the large language model behind Broadmatch, just in the last few years. And we're seeing, similar to your call me when Performance Max doesn't work for you, call me when Broadmatch doesn't work for you, because we've seen incredible performance gains in the last just, you know, even 2 years on just Broadmatch, which is a technology that is reliant actually on both flavors of AI that I talked about. Generative, because we're generating more searches that you could potentially match to you hadn't thought of, and predictive and analytical, because we're using the data already in your advertising campaign to come up with that. And I find that so fascinating. It's a well-shopped around sort of Google talking point that 15% of queries that are typed into Google every day are things we have never seen before.
Wow.
Which I always found staggering in terms of how much work it is as a search engine marketer just to keep up with those keyword lists that you might be putting in there. So Broadmatch is another one where, from an AI point of view, that's one where we see a lot of real impact.
It's incredible. Just to take a step back as well here, I keep asking questions about like tools and practice. I find it interesting you keep talking about responsibility and use and questions. So would you maybe agree with the statement and maybe not, and expand on it by saying, hey, as an agency or as a brand, as a team of marketers, as the CMO, as the folks responsible for the marketing brand, do you need to pause in this season to say, how are we going to embrace AI? What AI tools are we going to use? And how is Google, you know, monitoring and being involved in the responsible use of all this stuff?
It's a very good question. I think in terms of you're talking from specifically from an agency lens.
Yeah, both. I'm just trying to think of teams right now that are like, hey, are we going to use AI image generator tools? Are we going to use AI content writing tools? Like, are we going to use Performance Max? But it sounds like we need to pause and think, how are we going to use these? And yes, we are, but let's use them responsibly, which I keep hearing you say, like, what's the responsible use of all these?
Yeah, words? And I think that's where we say bold, right? Because I think it's progress requires you to push forward, whether it's marketing or AI or anything else. Change is hard and uncomfortable. And so I think that's where bold comes in, because we do need to push forward. It's the only way we learn. But I think the complement to that term is responsible. And it's, you can't do one and not the other. And so I think our belief there is really that you have to do both. And you have to have a conversation about doing both. And I think it's important to step back as an organizational leader or a manager, or even if you're someone working in a team, and make sure that you've had that talk with your team, with your manager, with customers, making sure that everyone's clear on what we are driving towards and maybe what we're not. And so at Google, I think everything that we've done since 2018 in this area is laddered up against those principles that I mentioned earlier. And if you search Google AI principles on Google or your favorite search engine, you'll find a pretty good starting point for other organizations as well.
It's amazing.
You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand, and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow, I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Some of the brands that you're working with right now that are leveraging AI tools, you want to tell us some stories?
Yeah, I think there's some really, really great examples going on out there. And I think a lot of them tie back to what you're talking about, which is sort of getting comfortable in perhaps discomfort. And we see a lot of brands pushing forward there. I think a few shout outs I would give, probably one would be to L'Oreal. Are you a Kiehl's user?
I'm not, actually.
No, very good, like skincare products. But so one of their sub brands, Kiehl's, they've used the Performance Max campaign.
Okay, nice.
On, and from from what they saw a close to 80% return on ad spend from that campaign. But I think most importantly, and this is where we sort of talk to the expansive power of this, 49% increase in revenue. Just by leveraging this campaign type. And this was the one sort of back to the story on the dining table where we're mixing, matching the assets and also sort of mixing and match where you surf. Could be in search, could be in Gmail, could be a display ad, could be on YouTube. And that's something where following that success, they're now scaling that to all of their e-commerce enabled brands. And so also a really good example of not just testing something or trying something and then sort of moving on with your life, but testing and then scaling And as something graduates towards, okay, well, I guess this is the way we work now, building new ways of working around that and finding new ways to be efficient. And so they scaled it again, and then, you know, they saw another 44% increase in one of their other lines, another 29% increase. And, you know, I think you can sort of see where this is going with their sort of marketing function is, you know, a lot more focus on getting more efficient, but then obviously getting more productive, because there was probably time that you were investing in terms of the tasks you were doing before and the tasks you're doing now, and making sure that teams are sort of communicating where those efficiency gains are going and how they're focusing their efforts on like personalization or first party data usage versus some of the nuts and bolts that they might have done before. So that's a really good one. And I want to make sure I sort of do justice to, we talked predictive and analytical and then also generative.
Yeah.
Loblaws is another example.
Yeah. Okay.
I really liked, which was highlighted their Summer Insider report, which, you know, I think was a decade plus campaign that they had. They were making a big shift to digital from sort of something that had previously been very flyer focused. And we've got a product called Ads Creative Studio, where they took one creative asset and turned that into 16 different variations, each one similar creative, but unique messaging tailored to specific audiences, leveraging AI. And I think this is sort of an aha moment as a marketer when you're able to see something that we were doing before that we would plan for separately in each market with different audiences, we're now able to do once, scale rapidly, and generate a lot of learnings from. So I think those are two really good examples of leveraging AI. And you know, like I mentioned earlier, 80% of our advertisers Google-wide are already using AI products. So, you know, there's probably so many stories to tell across the board here on how people are really getting the most from AI.
Yeah. And I think maybe, you know, I had a client once be like, how are you using AI for my account? And I was like, well, we've been using this, right? Like, you know, look what we've been doing. And this is some of the data we use. And they are also, once we expose it, they were shocked still of what data is available, what marketing opportunities are still available to us.
Yeah. And this is a spot where I think it's important for marketers to start to take up some of the oxygen on the AI conversation.
Yeah.
Because it is already driving, I think, just incredible impact for business. And also something where I think it's, you know, it's not super glamorous to talk about broad match keyword matching.
No.
But it is probably, if you were to look at the dollar spent, you know, one of probably the most impactful uses of AI, I would argue, like on the internet.
Yeah. Or, but at the same time, I did a workshop last week and I talked about Google Trends and people also ask, and people are still shocked in the room. They never heard about it, didn't know it was a tool that they as a business owner could use and leverage. And it's very fun. It's also,
This gets back to, I think just the, you've noticed, I tend to steer things back towards have the conversation. What are you doing around experimentation? It's really, really important to have this not be a top-down effort, and good ideas come from everywhere is something we always say at Google. And so gather ideas from a team. Someone knows about Google Trends probably in most organizations, and you know, figure out what are the technologies that we want to experiment with, come up with a smart hypothesis. So, you know, specific, measurable, attainable, relevant, time-bound. Yeah. And you build that into the team and the organizational practice. And, you know, you'll quickly find that you're able to learn much faster and more efficiently than you have before.
Yeah.
And whether it's AI or something else, you know, that sort of emphasis makes it much easier to figure out your plan on, you know, how to use these technologies.
Yeah. I was doing a workshop last week with a guy, Shane Gibson, and he played a video and he used MyGen. Which is, again, he put up a, you know, shot a little video of himself with a background, and then he proceeded to play this video of him saying something in English for, you know, 20 seconds, and then in French, and then in, you know, Mandarin, and then in Spanish, and it was beautiful, and his lips were moving with it, and it was all using that tool. And then he had it up on YouTube, and so he's like, hey, I've made now 5 of these, and so when I send something out, I put a YouTube link depending on which country they're in. And I can now advertise to different people, depending on what country they're in their language, with me speaking their language.
Yeah, it's amazing. And I think it's one of the things where I'm so excited about the potential
Yeah,
that's there. And we didn't talk about the challenges. And I don't know if you were going to ask me that hard-hitting question, because I'm sure listeners might be wondering, well, you know, if he's doing that, you might have had someone else doing that in a different language before. And so I'll surface that myself as like something that I've heard come up, I think, in the past, right? And story from my own life. I, as a hobby, am very into Impressionism and Impressionist paintings.
Yeah.
And, you know, when I first started using generative AI models, you know, I type in, I want a scenic picture of Northern Ontario Lake in the style of Monet. And, you know, snap your fingers, there it is. I think we've seen these moments before. A related parallel, I think, is actually the history of photography.
Yes.
When that first arrived, many worried that that sort of signaled the end of art. Because, you know, if you can push a button and take a picture of what you're seeing, why do we need someone to paint that? You know, and that was sort of landscape. I'm into landscape. That was in sort of the landscape and portrait side of things. But, you know, in many ways, the opposite became true from that innovation.
Yeah.
You know, artists were freed from, we need to focus on replicating life.
Yeah.
And, you know, accurately reproducing reality. Painters now went to new places.
Yeah.
Which led to the rise of Impressionism, Modernism, you know, all kinds of other revolutions in the artwork, which I think we can look back and appreciate now in museums and even in, you know, for the hobbyists like myself. But, you know, photography then became an art form on itself, you know, powered in and intertwined with sort of AI and powered by technology. And so I think that's where I would bring things back to bold and responsible, because when you are thinking about being bold, a lot of questions can come up with sort of what if and what about the way we work today. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where it really, really requires the courage to push ahead and really sort of up-level where and how you're spending your time. Because there are parts of that where, you know, this technology can be a great force multiplier.
Yeah, 100%. And I think, again, I could be wrong here, but I think in-person events, personal interviews, things that are called boutique, like vinyl records, right, became on the huge rise when things went so digital with Spotify and, you know, all the other options. Mm-hmm. I really think, yeah, what you're saying about AI, I think human interaction is going to be even more valuable in the next, you know, 5 years.
Yeah, I think so as well. And there's actually some really interesting studies starting to come out. I think Harvard and BCG just did one around sort of AI use in the workplace, and, you know, equipping consultants with it. And a portion of consultants not equipped with it, and what do we see in terms of sort of productivity and impact there? And it's, you know, it's something even within my own organization, I'm encouraging us to sort of practice what we preach, which is why I told you I'm a power user of all the Google technology we've got with Duet and Workspace and lots of other elements, because I want to be more productive too.
What are you, a Google local guide?
Not the same degree as you. I'm a little ashamed.
You can join me. there hasn't been many perks these days, but it's still amazing. I still love it.
Once in a while, I will get a prompt.
Yeah.
Saying like, my reviews are very popular.
Yeah. I like
those. We could use some more of my reviews.
Yeah.
It makes me feel very good.
Yeah. No, it's great. It's lovely.
But I also sort of wonder, like, who am I?
Yeah.
Sort of. I have lots of friends who invest a lot of time.
Yeah.
And that as well. And I'm super appreciative of that. And it's to sort of the point of, I think, the value of getting that human experience.
Yeah.
You know, that's where I think that's so incredibly valuable, is how are we perceiving and interacting with the world and making that sort of useful and relevant for others.
For sure.
That's a great example. So thank you for your service.
No, you're very welcome.
As a guy.
I feel like I receive so much. Like, it used to be this, I guess they're still around, but like Yelp Elite used to do a thing, but then like, but Google, like, I go there and I'm like, I learn so much, right? And so I feel like I should contribute back. And then it's like, I feel safer contributing there than like Instagram or other places, because I feel like I can actually go back and review it, and it's contributing to the community.
Yeah.
And as a parent too, I was like, I got 4 kids. It's like, hey, this is super kid friendly, or this is not kid friendly, or whatever you want to put in there.
Okay. How old are your kids?
I've got almost 5, 8, almost 10, and 16, turning 17 in a couple of weeks. He's going for his...
Yeah. And do you talk at home about AI? I'm curious.
We have actually
the impacts they see, whether it's education or other.
It hasn't hit elementary schools yet. Like, we haven't seen that education or development there. But my grade 12 student talking about there, mostly on the essay writing piece of it, and what is the ethics around kind of plagiarism, and can you have AI write your pieces, and what does that look like, and how are teachers responding? And so there's more on the kind of written content element of it. It has been fascinating. He's going to be going to university next year. Curious how his first year at university will handle it and what they're going to take. I got to jump aside though. Have you discovered Landscape Artist of the Year yet? The TV series.
Landscape Artist of the Year?
Yes.
No, I haven't.
Oh man. So during COVID, there was like the British baking show and
I'm familiar with that one. Yeah.
I discovered this. It's like British Bake, same vibe. But I went to school actually to be a painter, so that's my background.
Oh, amazing.
But it's like that same vibe as baking show, but it's painters, but different styles of painters who go to different parts of the UK and paint landscapes, and then they compete to one day win a commissioned landscape piece that will go in like the Royal Gallery in Britain.
Oh, I'm in. I'm in. I wanted to go to school to be a painter.
Okay, okay. But it's the most. I'll watch with my kids sometimes and draw.
Different story.
Yeah. No, I never got it. Like I went 1 year, I did painting, and then I ended up in another plane because my mom was like, you gotta be practical. You can't be a painter. But beautiful.
Same conversation for me. And that's how I ended up in engineering.
Yeah. Look at us. You ready for the rapid fire?
Sure. Yeah.
Phone ready.
Sure.
What was your first ever job?
First ever job was, you know what, I would actually say it's in marketing. I worked, before it was affiliate marketing, I was selling the internet.
Nice.
By mailing CDs.
Oh, that is awesome.
Across neighborhoods. And there's a good story there where I got into some trouble with the IRS. As a 12-year-old, running an affiliate marketing business with some, I think I had made up like my corporation number and that sort of thing on the document, but that actually got me hooked. On the internet. I was sort of distributing the internet. I don't know if you remember when the internet came on a CD.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
So I was a CompuServe reseller.
CompuServe. That is amazing.
Yeah. Okay. So that was my first job. And that sort of set me down the path of being really passionate about, you know, the internet and technology.
So cool. Night owl or early bird?
Both. Okay. It's actually midday is my worst moment. So I'm great in the morning, great at night, and have to sort of manage my energy throughout the day.
Okay. Napper, maybe end of year napper. It's good.
I could use a nap.
Yeah. Cat or dog person?
You know what? I admire both.
Yeah.
Dogs for sort of their friendliness and loyalty, but I think just cats for their self-sufficiency and I would say beauty as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Dark or milk chocolate?
Dark chocolate.
Yeah. Beautiful. Yeah. Favorite word right now?
AI. I guess that's two words, but.
No, it's great. last charity you supported financially or with your time and why?
Last charity that I supported financially was actually a friend who at Google, who was based in Maui for a few years and actually ended up having a few of his children there to support the unfortunate fires that had happened in Lahaina. So that was the last one.
Okay. A movie that you just love, you could watch over and over again.
There's so many that I watch over and over again in different genres, but I think Bloodsport from an action movie point of view is a classic. Yeah.
Yes.
Back to the Future, probably my favorite sort of all-time go-to rewatch movie.
Very cool. Favorite song or album on repeat right now?
It's unfortunate because I would say the soundtrack to Moana would be the top thing in my Spotify on both of my children. So I actually don't get that much time to listen to my own music, but I am rediscovering Taylor Swift because of the hype.
Yeah.
And I was there for the country moments, but you know, I'm back with some of her more recent stuff now.
Man, her collab with Bon Iver is beautiful. One of my favorite songs. It's gorgeous. If you weren't doing this job in like another multiverse, what would you be doing with your life?
I would be doing impressionism.
Yeah, come on.
Maybe both of us would.
yeah, there you go. Take that, Mom. app on your phone you can't live without.
Gmail.
Yeah, yes.
Sure.
Yeah, awesome. Favorite children's book?
I don't know if this is what it's called, but the Bunny Planet. I need a visit to the Bunny Planet. I don't know if you've read that one, but that's a good one.
Nice. Best thing you ever bought for under $10?
It's an odd purchase, but it was sort of a phone stand.
Yeah.
I never knew the merits of like a phone stand until I bought one. And I was like, actually, this is quite useful. Really? Having on my desk.
I should send you. I have a Google one.
Oh,
We have been hosting Google partner events for the last 10 years. And every year we'd have a new swag item. And one year it was these Lego phone holders from Google.
Amazing.
Yeah. I've got a few. I'll get your address after. I'll send you one of those.
Appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah. What's the most important thing you ever changed your mind about?
That is a deep question. You know what? It might have been, if I think about just the impact and where I am now, it would have been probably like the path I wanted to take from an education point of view.
Nice.
I was pretty adamant on the arts track.
Yeah.
And an interesting pivot towards software engineering.
It's awesome. But you probably bring that angle to it, which I think is pretty beautiful. That's awesome.
Yeah, that was a big moment.
Business or marketing book you'd recommend? Or newsletter?
Yeah. So Build by Tony Fadell. I think is a really fantastic book. He's, you know, legendary, I think, for his involvement in iPhone development, iPod development, but also founder of Nest. And it's essentially all of his lessons that he gives to people who he doesn't have time to mentor. But it's all that advice bundled up in one nice book. So that's one I recommend for everyone.
Amazing. Skills required for a new economy. So new people coming up into marketing, advertising, working for MarTech, working for Google. What do you look for?
Most important skill is curiosity.
Okay. Nice. Beautiful. That's great. If only we could, there's a course in curiosity in university or college.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. So that's amazing. Anything else you want to leave with listeners, viewers today, Matt, on AI, Google, things they should be aware of?
I think the most important thing to be aware of, I would probably tie it back to what we chatted about on being bold, but also being responsible.
Yeah.
So make sure that you are giving equal weight to both.
Yeah.
And there's no bad place to start. I think once you have sort of had that, once you have had that talk and that focus, I think that's probably what I would try and leave everyone with is, you know, do both of those things.
Amazing. And I want to close it. I'll go first on this one. I don't usually answer these questions, but I'm going to answer and I'd love to hear your answer. YouTube, your favorite channels you subscribe to on YouTube. And this is so cool because my kids' ages, we are all big fans of Mark Rober. So used to be a NASA scientist, makes the most beautiful, incredible videos. And of course, Mr. Beast continues to kill it and we love it. And it's just fascinating. And his philanthropic stuff is amazing. And Kids to Kids, my 5-year-old loves Kids to Kids. I don't like Kids to Kids, but it's like he's obsessed with Kids to Kids.
Okay. My favorite ones, I've got lots. Marquise Brownlee, I think is an important one, I think, from just what's happening in the tech landscape. There's a few podcasts I follow along there too. I think All In Podcast. Yeah. I don't know if you've got a YouTube channel where you post these as well, but
we used to. We should get back on that. We should
sign
do
me
that.
Up for some of those because I'm deeper on the podcasting side.
Yes. Yes.
YouTube AI Explained.
Okay.
It's another good and sort of relevant, timely one.
We should get a link. If you could send us a link to that, and that maybe we'll work with your team to get links to all these resources you mentioned. That'd be a great one.
Yeah. And, you know, a lot of the other stuff I go to is probably like more boring, like news stuff like Bloomberg and CNN and others. So
I was just talking about with my team this morning. Remember Some Good News with Jim Krasinski from The Office? It was
Why
one
can't
of our.
Still be around?
Yes, I think he sold it after COVID. Like, it was one of my favorite shows. And it's so funny because it was the first time, actually, because of Some Good News, I always had YouTube app on our TVs, but it was the first time I was like, I use the subscribe feature religiously. So now I now go to the subscribe section now on YouTube every time I'm going to watch a show versus like there's Netflix and all those other options. But YouTube subscribe section is now my go-to to be like, has Robert put out a new video? Because we go every week to find out if Some Good News put out a new video. I loved it.
Yeah, I love that too, right? It's such a wonderful take during a time that wasn't so great.
Man, you'd cry, you'd laugh. Like, it was beautiful, beautiful. And all, and actually edited out of Calgary. So it was a firm out of right in our backyard that put that all together.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Architectural Digest as well. That's another
those are
personal fave of mine. Like, they've got a lot of really good, like, short segments.
Yeah.
And then what else do I watch religiously? First We Feast.
Okay, I don't know. Cool.
Also good. It's sort of escalating wings, like a hotness degree.
And okay.
You know, you start really mild, and by the time we got to this point in the episode, we'd be like off the chart spicy.
Is that like Hot Ones? Hot Ones.
Yeah, Hot Ones. Yeah.
Is it called First We Feast? Is that the name of it?
I think it's called First We Feast.
Okay, yeah. I've seen it. I saw NSYNC doing that recently. They did a reunion together and they got back together and ate hot wings and were interviewed while they're eating hot wings. It was wild.
Amazing.
And they showed some behind the scenes where they have a room before you go and do it full of Pepto-Bismol and Tums that you can, it was great.
Amazing. Before and after.
Matt, it's been a real pleasure. Thank you for coming on the show. I'll get you your phone case after this, or phone holder. It's great. It's beautiful. And look forward to having you on again. I think even, honestly, I don't doubt it, in 6 months from now, we'll even have another conversation about some of the new features and maybe learnings that you've had at Google.
I would love that. Thank you so much for having me.
Awesome. Thanks again. Thanks for joining us this week on Marketing News Canada, and we'll see you next time on the show.
Thanks for listening to Marketing News Canada. For more episodes and other great stories from Canadian marketers, visit marketingnewscanada.com. All episodes are recorded at the Jelly Marketing Studio, thanks to our producer, Chris Penner, and editor, Travis Jeffers.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Save big money now on new siding from LP Smart Side at Menards. Update and beautify your home with your choice of 13 timeless colors of pre-finished engineered siding. It's durable and includes a Sherwin-Williams factory finish paint warranty that means no painting for years to come. View our entire selection of siding from LP Smart Side today. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big.